we got what it takes for the circle to break. Revolution lives in me.
Welcome to the Untamed and Unashamed podcast. I'm your host, Jade Bryce, and I am a certified love, intimacy, and relationship coach. I help women reconnect to their bodies and their pleasure, and I help men to become a safe space for that by becoming fully embodied leaders. The mission of this podcast is to expand our capacity in living untamed and unashamed. As we navigate life's ups and downs with all of the vulnerability, compassion, and openness that we can muster, and celebrating our bravery in all of it. Along with the help of guests from all walks of life, we'll discover new truths while doing some unlearning, and we'll gain valuable tools for becoming who we already are. So I invite you to open your heart and be untamed and unashamed. All right, you guys, I loved the show. Nobody Wants This so much. And as someone who studies relationships as much as I do, and it being the theme of this show on most episodes, I thought it would be fun to dedicate an episode to it. And who knows, this may be my least downloaded episode of all time, but it's what wants to come out of me right now. So I'm doing it. I think the show is titled Nobody Wants This because the relationship between the two romantic leads is a little messy, but that's also life. Life is messy. Relationships are messy. And it's how we respond to and love each other through that mess that makes it all worth it. And that's why this show is so healing. They show us all of this with so much humor, which also reminds us to actually find the fucking humor in the mess. This show is unlike any other. It's one where you're screaming at the TV like, oh, girl, no. But you're also thinking, wait, this is actually me. I do this. And that's just part of why the show is so healing. It takes the shame away. I feel the show is so great because it shows how real intimacy is formed through challenges, not through avoiding them. And it breaks down the idea that vulnerability is unattractive or that masculinity needs to be stoic and distant. Instead, it shows how both can be beautiful and necessary for love to thrive. The character development feels genuine, reflecting what many people experience in their own relationships, that push and pull, the moments of doubt, and the ultimate desire for connection while also struggling to not sabotage that very connection at times. And I'll get into the why and how we all do this in a little bit. But while we'll discuss two of the main character leads, I do want to say that the brother Sasha is hilarious and is kind of a favorite character of mine. Every line he says makes me laugh, and the mothers are also very, very hilarious. The writing overall is just incredible, and the humor is amazing. So I'm going to break down the show to talk about why grounded, healthy masculinity like Noah's is what we all want, and why emotional vulnerability like Joanne's is actually very sexy. And with that, please know that there will be quite a bit of spoilers if you haven't already seen the show. I highly recommend watching it. If you don't have the time, you can still enjoy this episode very much. So the first thing that stood out to me is how the show really embraces emotional honesty. Often, men are told to man up, hide emotions, be strong, don't let anyone see your softer side. And women are often told to be perfect, be agreeable, and for the love of God, don't be too much. Don't be messy. And it's almost like we're being told to not be human. We carry so much shame around our emotions. Society has conditioned us to think that being too emotional makes us less attractive, less lovable. But this show flips that script. It says, no, your vulnerability, your depth, your emotional intensity, that's what makes you powerful. That's what makes you magnetic. And the female character doesn't apologize for her emotions. And Noah, the male character, never makes her feel like she has to. There's no shaming, no telling her to calm down, that she's being crazy, or to be less. And that's where the healing happens. It's seeing a woman fully embrace her emotional world and be loved because of it, not in spite of it. Watching the show, seeing her be unapologetically herself, reminded me that there's power and owning every part of who you are. And we'll go deeper into both characters, but first I'll discuss the episodes and how they displayed such healing moments. So in episode one, within only an hour or two of meeting each other, Noah says to Joanne, "You terrify me. You're an unfiltered, complicated, vulnerable, beautiful woman." Already complimenting these parts of her that most women feel shame around. He sees them as beautiful, pretty much handing her a permission slip upon meeting her, saying, "Be you, it's what I want." The fact that he says this pretty quickly upon meeting her also shows that he sees past appearances and beneath the surface. He's a deep man, a deep feeler, and a deep thinker. He's also a rabbi, and he tells a story on stage when he's giving a sermon of a parable about a man who is stranded on a roof during a flood, and he begs for God to save him. And every time someone comes to help him, he says, "No, no, God will save me." And when the man dies, he asks God, "Why didn't you save me? I lived by your word." And God said, "I sent multiple people to you with life jackets and a boat. That was me." And he talks about how we hear from God in many different ways if we'll just listen, and how many of us think that everyone is in on some big secret and that we're just not in on it. And he reminds us that we're in on it. This sermon and us watching him give it shows us how inquisitive he is, how introspective he is, and gasp, how connected to God he is. In episode two, Joanne says, "Do we really need to tiptoe around all of the issues that make us uncomfortable? Or is that part of the problem? Like money and relationships and sex, if more people said things out loud, they would realize that it's totally normal and they would carry around a lot less shame." And there's so much beauty in the fact that that's actually what the show is doing itself. And I guess why it meant so much to me to hear her say that in the show is because that's the point of this podcast. She has a podcast herself talking about love, sex, and relationships. So, I mean, couldn't be more relatable. But that is the mission of this show, to take the shame around the taboo topics and to find God there also. So Noah mentioned while he's counseling a couple that him and his ex-fiance never had uncomfortable, we'll say the fiance is a, that's a loose term. She kind of proposed to herself, but anywho, he says that they never had uncomfortable conversations and it got to the point that they didn't really know each other. He wants something different this time and he's being intentional about that. Joanne is immediately upfront with her struggle when it comes to comparing herself to his ex. However, what I love is that she keeps it playful and turns it into art. Still vulnerable, still honest, still very real, but she's able to laugh at herself while she does it. For example, when he says his ex's name is Rebecca, she says, Rebecca sounds like she has thick hair. Obviously, Joanne has insecurities about her hair being thin and compares herself to women with thick hair. I related to this on so many levels. And the thing that comes up right now is one time my partner brought up that in one of his past partnerships, the woman was out of the country for half the year. And I was like, "Oh my God, just stop. Tell me no more. If you tell me she has an accent, I'm going to completely lose it. Don't even tell me her first initial because I'll find her and I'll find out everything about her that I can compare myself to. So just stop. Don't say anything else." That is the level that I relate to Joanne on. And you may not be all the way down like at that point, but I think a lot of us are, and we're just not honest about it. And I'll share a quick tip of how to gamify this that my close friends Adrian and Jordan Grenier do that keeps it fun and flirty. And just, it's nice when we can gamify something that would normally cause tension in relationship, right? So what they do is anytime one of them brings up an ex or, you know, brings up like, "Oh yeah, this one time when I was dating this one guy or flirting with this one guy," the other one will be like, "Wait, babe, you never dated anyone before me, or you never flirted with anyone before me, right, babe?" And so they gamify it and make it kind of flirty and fun. And when I watch them do this, it's so playful. And it just takes away that tension and that jealousy. And it's like this playful, like, no, babe, you're the only one I've ever been with, because that's what we all really want to believe, even though there's no way that we would be able to show up in a relationship the way that we do had we not had the partners previously, right? So we know this. Okay. So Joanne jokingly admits, though, that she's obsessed with his ex. And instead of being annoyed by her, instead of Noah being annoyed by Joanne saying this, he loves how honest she is. And they keep this playful, and it feels like such a healing way to relate. My first favorite scene is when they're eating ice cream and he, with so much command presence, says, "Put your bag down." And there's a craft to this taking charge. The man has to believe it himself, almost like he's channeling God in his command. And there needs to be a full period after the command, not a question mark, not some ellipses, period. A woman can feel when a man doesn't feel it himself. And Joanne does as she's told, because she feels it herself. He touches her face first for a long moment, caressing her cheek, really grounding in and getting present to the moment, and then kisses her while holding her face. The best kiss scene I've ever seen. He doesn't take his hand off of her face afterwards and keeps stroking her cheek for a few moments. And it just has the energy of masculine holding. Also, I love that they wrote into the show, like, this is such a, like, what some people would see as a minor detail, but I do not. They wrote into the show, Noah is always opening every car door for her and pulls her chair out for her. And this is important. And it's not as old fashioned as some may think. So in episode 3, I'll keep this one brief because the next episode is a little long, but the moment I'll bring up is when Joanne said, "When you didn't reply to my text, I got in my head about it." There's no game playing. She goes straight forward. "Why didn't you text me back?" Going in with clear communication without room for guessing games. And this is how I relate. I really can't do it any other way. I just can't. It eats me up if I try to. Okay, episode 4. She starts stalking his ex, which is very human. She starts to worry that she's not good enough for a rabbi and that she's just like her mom and will scare him away. Those very fears are why she's stalking his ex. It's why we do it. We are seeking out evidence for the fear that we're trying to believe, for the fear that's trying to sabotage, right? We all do this. Something good comes, and we have to learn to allow the good. But those voices, they always come no matter how healed or how integrated we are, because we can only go so far on our own. It's in relationship that we truly heal. And so it's in relationship that what we need to heal actually shows up. Something I love is that Noah's friend casually calls Joanne a rebound, and Noah, with no hesitation, firmly says, "Whoa, she's not a rebound. This is not just for fun." He didn't allow a friend to talk about her that way. He didn't laugh it off. He didn't stay silent. He stood up for her and set a quick boundary on how he'd allow her to be spoken about. And this is my standard in relationship and what I wrote out when I wrote down what I wanted in my desired partnership. My two best friends, Kyle and Tasha Kingsbury, are such expanders for me in this. If anyone ever dare put Tasha down in front of Kyle, he wouldn't allow it for a moment. And I don't even think anyone would even try that, because that's the energy he holds towards her and that she holds for him. This feels really key in how we honor and respect our partner. So in this episode, he asked her what her biggest fear is. And because she's still struggling with fear and letting it run the show with the thought that she's too much and she's going to scare him away, she keeps avoiding the question. And he brings in play and he says, "If you don't open up to me, I'm going to have to punish you. And I really don't want to do that." And he spanks her. So fucking sexy. We've already touched on this fear of hers in a previous episode, but it's a reminder that this healing is no snap of the fingers. And healing takes patience and trust, and surrender takes time in experiencing the masculine holding of, "I've got you." It doesn't just happen right away. Then when she hands him her phone so he can search taco places to go eat dinner, it shows her recent search history, which is all about his ex. and he doesn't flinch. And later when she brings that up, he still doesn't flinch. He understands her insecurities and he isn't annoyed by them. So recalling right before he playfully spanked her, he lovingly and vulnerably says, "I was just trying to connect and it felt like it got a little weird. Can we talk about that?" What a man. Solid, clear communication, guiding her deeper into her heart. He follows that up with stating his clear intentions for where he wants to take them and what he wants to experience with her. Again, no game playing, total divine masculine energy of setting the container, which allows a woman to melt into it and into him. She doesn't have to question things. She knows what he wants and she can follow his lead. You can tell that in this vulnerable moment, it's a first for both of them, that they're relating differently this time. It's hard for her, so she has to turn around when she tells him that she was raised by a very emotional mom, and she watched that push her dad away. And she's afraid that she's just like her mother, and that she knows that she does weird things, and she's impulsive, and she's obsessive. She states that her biggest fear, as he lovingly places his hands on her shoulder, signaling, "I got you," energy, that she will become emotionally dependent on a man who one day realizes that she's too much and ends up breaking her heart. He doesn't look at her as if she's too much by saying all of this. Instead, he puts his hand on her face again as tears go down her cheeks. This is only their first date, y'all. And she asked if that was unattractive to him. And he lovingly says, "No, that was the most attractive," followed by, "I want all of this." He tells her that he's not going to break her heart. And then he kisses her. And the thing is when he kisses her, he really kisses her. Just like in that first kiss, he is fully there, fully in the moment, fully taking her in. She showed him all of her crazy. And it didn't scare him. And why we all want this is because we all have that crazy and we all want to know that it won't scare a man away. When I say crazy, I'm not talking about toxic or abusive or unintegrated trauma that we refuse to look at. I'm talking about the parts that make us human, the doubts, the fears, the insecurities, the jealousy, the feeling of being too much. We all have that crazy and we try to play it cool and all it does is make it worse. We just have to match with someone who's really into our specific type of crazy and we have to commit to being honest and being vulnerable and relating from that place. Every single woman has felt afraid to be too emotional, felt too much or not enough, or even both at the same time. And we've all felt what it's like to be rejected because of a man's fear of that. But Noah, he doesn't run. He leans in deeper. And that is what we all want. We want someone who says, "I see your emotional world and I'm not going anywhere." His response is what real grounded masculinity looks like. It's steady. It's unshakable, but it's also soft enough to hold space for his woman's vulnerability. This is emotional steadiness. It's mountain-like energy. He isn't intimidated by her emotional intensity, but welcomes it. He's a man who stays present through emotional turbulence. His actions also reflect his words. After she shares her fears, he doesn't just give words that seem caring. He actually shows it by slowing down and being physically and emotionally present. This shows the grounded masculinity that women crave in our vulnerable moments. Episode 5. In this episode, it's Noah that has some fears come up. And the moment he starts acting weird, Joanne calls him on it. They've already set this as the way that they relate. Joanne gets a little wake-up call that she slipped into being a pick-me girl and shifts her energy into one of empowerment, remembering her worth, but it's authentic. This is an important moment for women when we slip into this relating style. This is not what we've been talking about before. This is something different. This is when we stop seeing ourselves and start finding our worth in a man's choosing of us. It's in our knowing of our worth that makes the choosing of each other so much more healing. So through this dynamic shift, Noah is reminded that you don't give up something great because it's difficult. It reminds him of her worth, basically. Then he officially asks her to be his girlfriend, which is really sweet and something that a lot of men don't do anymore, but I find incredibly romantic. And that official claiming feels so fucking juicy. Obviously, the official claiming is when we take a man's last name, but this first taste of it and being formally asked to be a girlfriend is really adorable. Okay, so I'm going to end the part on this episode, this episode 5 recap, by just sharing a cute, quick little communication hack that they share in this episode during a business meeting. They talk about being such a good listener that you can mirror back to them what they said. And it helps people feel comfortable with opening up to you because they know that you're being present and listening. It also helps you to be a better listener, because if you know you're going to repeat back the last thing that they said, you're actively listening for when that moment is going to come. But again, this must be authentic and not from some sort of tactic or manipulation, because that will end up being felt. Plus, it's just gross. The hack is to repeat back the last sentence of what the person said. I'm sure this makes sense to you, because if you're listening to this and you've gone this far in, you've probably already watched the show. So you've likely seen it happen in the show, but I wanted to put the reminder here for all of us because I thought it was a really great communication hack. All right. Episode 6 is titled The Ick. So when Joanne's sister calls her on having the ick because she sees her face towards Noah, she tells her, "You can't fight the ick. It's like a Chinese finger trap. The harder you pull, the tighter it gets." And it's true. If you ignore the ick, it will grow. And it will come out in disrespect or little passive-aggressive comments. You have to acknowledge it and lean into it, but also find out why you're having it. So Joanne is even debating breaking up with Noah, believe it or not, this wonderful man. She's about to push away because she didn't like his sport coat. She got the ick over his sport coat and over how hard he tried to impress her parents, which is actually really quite sweet. But he held her accountable on it and says that it's not what's actually happening, that she has her guard up because of her family history and that she's self-sabotaging. But the perfect part is, when he calls her on it, he follows that up by saying, "Hey, I'm on your side. I can handle you." That is like the unforgettable line of this show, y'all. Every woman that's ever felt too much relaxed when she heard a man say that, even though it was on a television show. Some women have never heard a man say something like that to them. And that's what's so great about this show, is that it expands us. It's important that we do things that expand us, whether that's who we're around, the people that we decide to be friends with, or a sister's group, a men's group, or the visualizations that we're doing in our meditation practices that we're bringing into our nervous system, letting our nervous system know that it can experience it, or whether it's the media that we're consuming. We have to make sure that we have expanders, because I know for me, when I talked about this scene with a girlfriend, she was like, "I've never heard a man say something like that, but it gave me hope." So Joanne was having the ick because fear, you know, she's still running some fear narratives. And so the ick can be survived, and not just survived, but conquered for growth. It doesn't mean that we didn't really get icked out by something. It just means that we're not able to use it as an exit. I've had tons of moments in my life where I felt exactly like Joanne, afraid that my emotions would be too much for someone to handle. And there's something so powerful about hearing someone say, "I can handle it," without trying to fix you or minimize or discredit your experience. My partner has done this for me a lot, and it feels really good to watch this show and actually know what it feels like in real life. The other day I was sabotaging in conflict, and he lovingly said, "Come on, love, let's get good at this. And it completely melted me. And I was in full-on sabotage mode, and it just melted me. I knew through that sentence, come on, love, let's get good at this. I knew he was fully in it with me, willing to figure it out, to get good at each other. And it's that type of holding from a man that allows us to really melt into the love. So in Noah and Joanne's usual manner, Noah brings in some humor, and everything is a little bit easier to get through if you can bring in some humor. My best friend always says life is a comedy. He was the number one 90s comedy director. I think that's part of his medicine to the world, is to help people see the humor in it all, in the midst of all of the pain. But he says that God is telling a comedy to a group of people that just won't laugh. And today, I was trying to save money by not ordering myself some food at a restaurant and only ordering food for my kids. And when I got out of the restaurant, I had a $50 parking ticket on my car. As frustrating as that was, I had to feel the fucking cosmic joke in it. We got to bring in humor somehow, even in the midst of the pain and the frustration. Okay, episode 7. So Joanne creates a LinkedIn account just so that she can look at Noah's exes, look at her LinkedIn, and she sees that she got a job promotion. Just like we all do, we're looking for reasons to convince ourselves that we're not special, that we're less than, or to validate whatever the story is that we're running in our minds. And she's going out of her way to find something to be jealous of. And if we're honest with ourselves, when we're doing it, which we all do, we're trying to validate a story that we're running with. And if we can pause and say, the story that I'm telling myself is, really feel into that, and then also say, the other story I can tell myself is, it can really, really help take the power away from that dirty habit we all have. And that's another thing that I really love about the show. She's radically honest about this, as me and my girlfriends are. And when we're honest about our shadows, not only do they hold less shame and control over us, it also adds to that humor. What's important is that we're not enabling each other. We all do it. And that makes me want to talk about another programming that comes up that causes us to be jealous of other women. So women weren't allowed to have bank accounts without their husband's permission, their signature on it, until the 1970s. We just passed the 50-year anniversary of when a woman could have a credit card, when she could take out a loan. So we were heavily dependent on men for our survival, heavily. And I love the dynamic of like man as provider and woman as nurturer. And, I love that energy in a dynamic, but I love it when it's gifted to each other, right? That's beautiful. But the thing is that used to be something that women couldn't actually survive without. And what that meant was that another woman was a threat to our survival, because if we needed a man for survival, so do other women. And that means women could take that ability for survival from us, either by getting the man that we're trying to get or by taking the man away from us that we have. Like, there's so many different ways that this could play out. And that fear, if you think about, this was only 50 years ago. That's our grandparents. And so that fear was in our grandmothers. And that can so easily be passed down in our family's narratives without us realizing it. But also, we know that when we're an egg inside our mother's egg, we actually are in our grandmother's womb, right? And so we actually experience that to some extent. Like, it's still part of our DNA that we are unwinding and reprogramming and healing. And the pendulum has definitely swung, right? Like the women's empowerment movement, it swung. And I think that it's continuing to swing back, and we're coming into a more healing, more healed, more integrated relationship with men, where it is something that's a gift for a man to provide and for a woman to be all of the things that that the feminine represents in a relationship, right? Like he's the provider and the protector, and she brings him closer to God. And, you know, she's that soft place for him to land and all of the beautiful things, right? Like we're coming into that. But if it was only 50 years ago that we were a threat to each other's survival, that view of other women as competition, that's still pretty fresh. That's still there. We still experience that through our grandmothers. And that, who knows how long that had been embedded in them? And who knows how heavily? And so that is another reason I feel that we are, it's beautiful how much we're starting to be honest about this, how much we're actually admitting it to each other. And it, I do believe it's part of how we heal it, but that's something that we have to come into awareness of that we are viewing other women as competition, and deep, deep down at the root of it, even a threat to our survival. And when we come into awareness of that, that's when we can begin to heal it. And one of the ways that has been the most healing for me is to find ways to heal alongside other women. But something I love about my women's program is that, you know, there's a WhatsApp group and we're on Zoom calls together, and we do little, you know, breakout moments, and nothing to put anyone on the spot or anything if that's making you nervous, but we have these different moments of where we're healing alongside each other. And the thing is when we heal alongside each other, we start to remember that we're stronger together, and we start to remember that we're allies. And that is how we heal this generational curse that we've been passed down with, by viewing each other as allies, not as competition. And it makes so much sense because this is where we've come from. So give yourself compassion, bring in the awareness, and let's do the work to heal it. And the honesty, because the more we realize that we're all doing it, the more we can kind of laugh at ourselves and see how freaking ridiculous it is. You know, we've talked a lot about Joanne and Noah. I was laughing with a friend the other day because she was so jealous of this girl that she thought her girl, like, so she thought her partner and this girl, like, kind of had a, like, I don't know, like feelings for each other in the past before they were together. And so she'd like stalked her on Instagram and like kind of obsessed herself with her for a few moments or a few, you know, some time. And it just was getting to be too much for her. So she ended up blocking the girl on Instagram. This girl didn't even know who she is. Like they don't follow each other, but she just blocked her so that she couldn't look at her Instagram anymore. So months go by and it crosses her mind again. As you know, sometimes we think we're done with something. We've healed it. It's like we've moved on. And then I don't know, we get low sleep one night. We're in our luteal. Who the heck knows? We got to validate some story we're running. And so it pops back in our head and we just take off with it sometimes, right? Hopefully not, but sometimes. So that happens. And so she goes to look up the girl on Instagram, but forgets that she blocked her. And when she blocked her, or when she sees that she can't look her up, she assumes that that girl was the one that blocked her. And so she is like all upset at her partner. And she's like, oh my God, something had to have happened between y'all, because why else would she block me? And he was like, oh my God, babe, I haven't even talked to that girl in so long. Like, I don't know anything about her. Like, I don't know why she would block you. Like, maybe she's jealous. This is really weird. And the girl, it took like 3 days. And then she remembered like, oh my gosh, I was the one that blocked her. And that's why I can't see her page. And she like had full on flipped out about it. Luckily, her boyfriend really like was calm and loving and non-threatening, because there wasn't anything really there for her to be upset about. So he was a calm, loving presence. And because of that, the safety that he provided, she was able to come back and laugh and be like, babe, I'm so sorry. I actually felt jealous of her a while back and I blocked her and that's what had happened. And they were able to laugh about it. So I'll go a little bit deeper into that later. Hopefully that made sense though, the whole story about the blocking. But that is, there's so much power in radical honesty, a man providing safe presence so that we can continue to be radically honest, just like she had to come back and tell the actual truth. And with finding the humor in it, like when she told me this, we were cracking up because when we find the humor in it, we realize how ridiculous it is, you know? Okay. Episode 8. We're almost there. So Joanne sees a box of Noah's ex's stuff and starts obsessing over it. But instead of going through it, she tells him before her obsession overcomes her, and she does it playfully and tells him to burn it. However, her sister gets involved and things get messy, and Joanne has reason to believe that Noah is talking to his ex behind her back, which he isn't. But when Joanne questions him, he stays grounded and calm and hands her his phone, just like in the Instagram blocking I just spoke of. The man, he's calm. He's, you know, it could be easy to be like triggered because you're not feeling trusted and to get all activated and defensive. But this Noah, he stays grounded. He stays calm and he hands her his phone with nothing to hide. He's extremely understanding of her insecurity and not threatened at all. He reassures her as if it's no big deal, which helped her to relax into that being true. And because he stayed calm, she was able to regulate and realize the pattern that she was running. Had he got escalated or defensive, it would have had the opposite effect on her, and her nervous system would have been too activated for her to even spot her own pattern. This healthy holding of the masculine mountain energy gave her the space to see how she could do better. This has been true in my own relationship, in that because my partner holds the same type of space in very similar scenarios, my nervous system stays calm enough for me to look at myself, and I'm not in fight or flight. So I have the capacity to step into more awareness instead of self-protection and find out what is the story, what am I afraid of? And then I can communicate that to him and we can work with that because we have the space to. That is the power of that masculine mountain energy. If my partner and Noah in the show got activated and defensive and started yelling or just even like shut down or got avoidant, our nervous systems, my nervous system, Joanne's nervous system would get hijacked and we'd be in protection mode and like, oh my God, there is something really wrong. And we, because we'd be in fight or flight or we'd be in freeze or we'd be in shutdown, whatever the reaction is, because of that, we're not in a regulated space anymore. And so then we're not able to see what's actually happening. We're not able, and yes, like it's our role, it's our job to be emotionally sober and to self-regulate. And when our partner, it's also co-regulation, right? When our partner provides that safety, it's much easier for us to get to that place very quickly. And when we do that, we have the space to be like, oh shit, I'm so sorry. Like, this is what I'm doing. I totally see that now. Like, you don't deserve that. I'm sorry. This is what I was thinking. And this is why I was feeling that way. And like, sometimes it can even go as deep as like, oh my God, I know when I first felt this way and it's related to that. And I'm going to work on this. But again, like if our partner got all heated, that creates more of a activation in us because we're already a bit activated by the fear pattern. And then it's just chaos from there. No one's growing. No one's communicating. No one's spotting their own patterns. And that is the power of that masculine mountain energy, right? And that's why it's so, so healing. What also helped was Noah's communication without judgment. This is so key because we're already judging ourselves, y'all. When she's spiraling, Noah doesn't shut her down or get defensive. Instead, he listens with curiosity, not judgment. And this is key, a relationship where we can say what's really on our minds and be met with understanding and not criticism. What is more intimate than that? What is more intimate than not being worried about saying the wrong thing or saying what's really on our minds or really on our hearts. What is more intimate and safe than that? Because we know that we're not going to be met with judgment. And this is something I'm really working on myself. So what's important here is that she doesn't shut down, though. In all of these instances, she doesn't shut down. Also something I'm really working on. When the energy is off, or he doesn't say something that she's hoping he'll say, or when she's feeling insecure about something, she doesn't shut down. She says it right away in the moment. And that's not to say that sometimes we don't need to process something or become emotionally sober, but I know in my situation, sometimes I can shut down and push away, and watching the way that she communicated really helped me to see how much it helps to call out what's happening in the moment instead of allowing time to create more stories. All right, episode 9. This one's quick. Noah stands up to his mom when she puts down Joanne, and you know, it's tasteful. It's it's bold. This is tricky, right? But a healthy relationship has healthy boundaries on how we allow our partners to be spoken about. We talked about this earlier, but this is even with family. So I had an experience once with my very first relationship. If you followed this show long enough, then you know that I had I got married when I was 20, and it was through a church, and it was a very interesting situation. It didn't last too long. I ended up leaving that church, and my life kind of crumbled, and a lot was born from it. But in that relationship, I remember, being at a restaurant and sitting down. It was his sister's birthday. His mom had never really liked me. She tried to call off the wedding the day before it happened. Like, the whole thing was just, a bit of a cuckoo town. So she had never really liked me. And this was why in my partnership list that I wrote out, I really desired to have a close relationship with my partner's mother, to have like something really beautiful between us. Because this was really hard for me to not be liked by my partner's mother at the time so viciously. So anyhow, it's his sister's birthday. I sit down at the table, and I'm right now like a size double D bra. But at the time I was quite a bit heavier, not quite a bit. It was like 30 pounds heavier. So I was like more than a triple D. I was pretty big. I actually got made fun of for my size in my teenage years, oddly. But with that said, it can be hard to find shirts that don't feel cleavage-y at times. And, if you're not wearing one that comes all the way up to your collarbone. And so I sit down at the table, and his mom says, your girls are hanging out. I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And I mean, this was like a regular, like cami top, like it was not low cleavage at all. And the thing that was so painful, she said this to me in front of everyone, and I didn't say anything. I looked down and I stood up and I left the restaurant. And that person, who was my partner at the time, didn't say anything either. He looked down. He didn't stand up for me. He didn't follow me out of the restaurant. He didn't mention it later. That wasn't the dynamic we had. We didn't talk about these things. We were also only 20. We didn't have the skills, but that was so painful for me. And this scenario was very, very similar in Nobody Wants This. She's putting down Joanne and kind of sexually shaming her because Joanne talks about love, sex, and relationships on her show. And Noah stands up to his mom and just says, that's enough. Don't talk to her like that. And I think that that's really important, that we protect each other, that we know, like, we've got each other. If someone speaks ill of you, I got you, and vice versa. And that goes even with family, which can be really touchy for a lot of people. All right, episode 10. So this is the last episode. She meets the ex, and they both admit to being obsessed with each other. And they had even critiqued each other's Venmos. The thing is, they hadn't even considered that they were both obsessed with each other, though. And this is so human and so common for women. If only we could see ourselves as amazing as we truly are, we wouldn't be comparing ourselves to each other. And I keep speaking about this from women, like as women, because as a woman, this is a lot of what I go through and experience and what I've done to myself. And the same with all of my sisters and my best friends. And it's a common theme for a lot of women that I know. But this also may be very true for you as a man, if you're listening. I can't speak to it because I don't know. And most of my friends are girls, but it goes for you as well. Like all of these truths are the same for you as far as why we do it and what's behind it. So let's recap what makes these characters so amazing, though, and what makes them giant permission slips to all of us. So Noah, the male romantic lead, is a grounded, healthy, masculine mountain of a man. And before I list off what makes him this way, obviously we are talking about a fictional character, and we could never expect this type of perfection from a raw, real, messy human man in front of us. But what we can do is allow this character example to expand us on what we know would feel good for us to receive from a man while holding room for humanness in our partners. So emotional stability. Noah doesn't shy away from challenges or conflicts. He is a calm presence, even in heated moments, offering emotional stability. Oh, this is crucial in relationships because it creates a safe space for emotional expression without escalation. Listening and presence. Noah actively listens rather than reacting immediately, and his ability to be present, even when things are tough, embodies the healthy masculine quality of holding space. Protective without controlling. He demonstrates a sense of protection, but not in a controlling or possessive way. He supports Joanne's autonomy while also being someone she can rely on. This balance of strength and softness shows a mature masculine energy. He isn't afraid to show his grounded masculinity, but it's not that macho, distant, emotionally unavailable version we've seen before. He's steady like a mountain. He's reliable. He's strong, but he's still vulnerable. He doesn't shy away from her emotional complexity, and he doesn't avoid showing his own. Instead, he leans into it. He leans into hers and he leans into his. And that's what we need more of in life. Men who can hold space for all the messy, raw emotions women carry, and women being honest and vulnerable about the emotions that they carry. So let's talk about the female lead, Joanne. What I love about her is that she's willing to let it all hang out. She's messy, she's emotional, she's real. And the beauty in that is that she's not hiding. In a world that tells a woman to be small, to not take up too much space, she's out here just being authentic and emotional and her true self. And she's showing us that vulnerability is not a weakness, it's a strength. It's actually what makes us human and allows us to connect on a deeper level. She's an example of vulnerability and honesty in the midst of so much that makes us women and that we struggle with. She has emotional vulnerability. Her ability to express her fears, her desires, and her insecurities is a strength. This vulnerability creates emotional depth in the relationship, allowing for genuine intimacy. Imagine if she kept quiet on all these issues. If she kept quiet on all of those issues, how do you think that would have played out? They would have manifested in very unhealthy ways. She has authentic communication. Her honesty, even when it's uncomfortable, invites deeper conversations and connection. It models how important it is to communicate feelings openly rather than letting resentment build. This is so key in our relationships and really the only way to have healthy ones that are sustainable over time. She heals through vulnerability. By being honest and transparent, she allows for healing and growth in both herself and in Noah. Her willingness to share her emotional world helps deconstruct the myth that vulnerability is a weakness in women. They grow closer each time and both feel safer through it. The fact that she has a podcast talking about love, sex, and relationships couldn't be more relatable for me as well. So, but why is this dynamic what everyone really wants? Because the desire for emotional safety is so strong for all of us. Everyone wants to feel emotionally safe in relationships. And the balance between Noah's grounded masculinity and her vulnerability creates a dynamic where both feel seen, understood, and supported. This is the core of healthy relating, emotional safety. Also, the partnership, not the power struggles. The show highlights the importance of our partnership, being teammates, like having each other's back. They're equals. They're navigating life together rather than engaging in power struggles. This dynamic is what many seek in modern relationships, but we often struggle to find. The rawness and realness over fantasy. So the show's portrayal of real, raw emotions and the messy parts of love and jealousy are more relatable than the typical romance narratives that we see in rom-coms. I mean, like, this show was as real as it gets, I feel. And it's not about perfect people. It's about people who show up, flaws and all, and make it work. The longing for depth. What people actually crave, even if they don't realize it, is depth, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual depth. To feel met in the depths, blasted open in the depths. This show is about showing us what we all actually do want. Men want to feel like they can hold space for their partner's emotions without actually losing themselves in the process. They want to be seen as strong, but also as someone who can connect on a deep emotional level. I also feel that this is new for men and used to be too taboo. So it's important that we're patient with them as they unfold into it, because many didn't have models for this. In fact, they had quite the opposite. And women want to feel like we can be our full, messy, emotional selves and still be loved for it. The reason why this show resonates with so many people is because it taps into the deep truths of what we all deeply crave: connection, emotional safety, and the ability to be vulnerable without fear of rejection. The relationship between Noah and Joanne is what we all want. It's the kind of relationship where emotional depth is celebrated, not feared, where there's space for both people to be vulnerable, to make mistakes, and to grow together. And that's what real intimacy is. That's what it's all about. And we're fed up with the surface level relationships that give us pseudo safety, where we feel disconnected. We want the real thing, the vulnerability, the emotional honesty, the messiness, and the growth. All right. So that's it for today's episode. I kind of feel like a film critic at this point. It was fun to try on. So go out there and embrace the beautiful mess that you are, because trust me, it's what someone is wanting to love about you.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.